The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Sports has begun to turn its wheels to bring us back to normalcy, to give us back baseball, to give us back fights, conduct the NFL draft. It won't be perfect, but it will be good. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can always join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, I learned a lesson in college. It's true, I donned a Speedo and played a little Division I athletics. And I learned something, essentially, about Iowa offensive lineman Tristan Wirfs and what kind of NFL prospect he actually is. I'll draw my water polo experience into the NFL draft coming up on today's show. And let's play a game of butthurt. Let's find out who on this show, Nuno, Mike A., Bubba, or Pat, is most likely to get butthurt in various situations. But let's start with Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Baseball, football, and the UFC. All three leagues are making plans to come back. All three are not allowing the perfect to become the enemy of the good. There's no perfect solution today in a coronavirus pandemic on how we get back to some semblance, some little bit of normalcy. But each are now beginning to lay plans for doing just that. Let's start with baseball. ESPN's Major League Baseball insider Jeff Passan is reporting that baseball is looking back to come back in May. And in May, what they would do is essentially set up a bubble city. This around Phoenix, Arizona, where games would be played at various stadiums throughout that area, including the Diamondbacks' home stadiums and several spring training facilities. They would create a protected environment, bringing in all the Major League Baseball players they can to conduct a season sequestered from the rest of society. Passan was on Get Up this morning explaining baseball's vision.
And so what they're doing is laying things out right now to essentially put themselves inside of a biosphere in the Phoenix area, which would keep them away from the public and ensure that any health problems do not spread there. And hopefully once they're inside of it, provide the sanctity of it so that nobody inside gets hurt either.
That sanctity would include distancing not just from fans and society, but distancing from their families as well. There are some estimates that these guys could be asked to go away from their families for upwards of 4.5 months. And that's left many saying, that's too much to ask. That's too much to say yes to. But my estimation is that players would say yes. That paychecks speak too loudly. That normalcy is too desired. And my guess is the vast majority of players would end up signing up for just that scenario. In fact, Jeff Passan suggested he talked to a Major League Baseball player and lived through his thought process, lived through his deliberation, and arriving at just the place I said they would, at a yes. Listen.
I asked a player a couple days ago, hey, if you have to go into a bubble city and you are separated from your family for an indeterminate amount of time, and this is a player who has a wife and kids, is that something that's going to work for you? And his initial response was, no effing way. Yesterday afternoon, I get a text from the same player. It says, talked with my wife, and she said, if the only way that I get paid this year is by having to go into the bubble, here I come, bubble.
Obviously, I can't speak for everyone, and I wouldn't. But I think there's a couple of things that we overlook here, that we underestimate. Number one, I think we underestimate everyone's desire to return to normalcy. And along with that, their willingness to take on some risk. I believe there are a lot of people out there with risk tolerance. Obviously, they're pushing the limits on that. We saw that a month ago when 20-year-olds went to spring break in places like South Padre Island, New Orleans, Louisiana, and South Beach, Miami. But I'm talking about the need to provide for your family. That arrives at number two. Most baseball players aren't the $100 million contract players. They're guys making the minimum. The minimum in professional sports is more than the average in most of our lives. But they're players who need the paycheck. They're players who need to get back to providing to their family. They don't just need normalcy. They need to participate in the economy. I think we underestimate exactly the role those things play, not just on athletes, but all of us. And then finally, I think that mental health requires men, women, everyone to get up and be productive again at some point. We need it. And as such, as we approach that decision, our risk tolerance will go up. Our demand for normalcy will get even higher. And I think most baseball players would arrive at a yes if asked by Major League Baseball to go into a bubble city and potentially be stepping away from their families for months. My gut is, while this is crazy and it's hard to envision the sanctity of the bubble, the biosphere, it's hard to envision no one coming in or out that could potentially pollute the environment. It's not so hard to envision people saying, yes, I'm ready to get back to work. And that leads us to the NFL. The NFL is making plans to conduct the NFL draft virtually. This will require NFL teams to conduct their business from home, scattered across whatever metroplex they live in, whatever homes they have. And there are even some that are bellyaching, according to ESPN's NFL insider Adam Schefter, that, for example, the Dallas Cowboys have an advantage because Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones can be in the same house, their family. That's not fair. We all have to be in separate locations. Between that and technological issues, will we get our trade in? Will the internet go out? Everybody's afraid what a virtual draft might actually entail. And here's Adam Schefter laying out those concerns.
Well, I think what it may impact, Greeny, is the amount of trading you see, because if you're leaving the same amount of time on the clock, there is less time for teams to communicate with each other and turn in the picks. And therefore, you may see less trading than in other years. Usually we see teams jumping up and all around the draft board, and maybe we'll see it again. But I know there are people that are skeptical that that can happen under these circumstances because of the difficulties we're presented with here. Plus, I know there are teams that are worried about technological challenges. And one GM said to me that his internet went out at home. Can you imagine if a team was on the clock and the internet went out?
The internet went out on me the other day. A little over a week ago here on the Will Cain Show, I was just gone for an entire segment. We had to play a pre-recorded interview. I'm sure you working from home have experienced something like that over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Why is the NFL going to be exempt from that? And while we're talking about what they're exempt from, have you seen the stories? A lot of people are out there using Zoom. It's a technology that puts everybody on the same app, and you can see video conferencing together. But Zoom is at least in part owned by a Chinese company, and much of the data was running through China. And there are concerns that that data was then being monitored by authorities in China. Whether or not that's accurate, whether or not that has anything to do with the NFL, what it shows is there is some holes in the encryption, in the privacy, in the protection mechanism. And coaches like John Harbaugh of the Baltimore Ravens are concerned about that privacy. Diana Rossini, ESPN NFL Insider, said it's not just the Ravens that are concerned. Multiple teams are concerned. Who could jump in? Could they get our playbook? Could they hear our conversations? Could they hear what kind of players we like? And that's not even considering whether or not everybody is technologically up to snuff on getting their trade in on time or their pick in on time. Can you imagine which teams would suffer the most? Oh, my God. Steven, I think the internet's out. Daddy, it's not out. It's just a little slow. Well, I don't have time, Steven, right now. I'm trying to trade up to number one. I like this Burrow guy. Daddy, we don't want him. We like Dak. Can you just imagine the sheer pandemonium? The circus music as everybody tries to deal with this remotely. I got to tell you something. Nuno, Mike A., Bubba, sitting here at our table of fandom right here, we're not primed to be teams, fans of teams, with executives that are on the cutting edge of technology. I wouldn't assume. My fandom is attached to a GM who's 77 years old. And Nuno, Gettleman isn't far behind at 66 years old. You know Gettleman's got it on increased font. You know he's reading his phone with that blown up to about a 34 font. So don't think we're going to be the ones that take advantage of any technological issues between the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Minnesota Vikings, who have a history of missing their pick and letting people leap them. There's got to be some scared fan bases out there about how this is all going to go down, whether or not trades will go off smoothly, whether or not picks will get in on time, or whether or not the internet will go out. But we will not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Whether or not it's a bubble city, a biosphere in Phoenix, Arizona, or it's a virtual draft, sports is looking at ways to get the big train wheels grinding down the tracks, creaking, moving forward. And I'll take it. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. And then there's the UFC. If a virtual draft or a biosphere, a bubble city aren't enough to push you in the direction of, wow, we're really stretching our legs here and brainstorming, Dana White is ready to drop your jaw. He's got a private island, and he's ready for fights to go on week after week. He's got a private air service. All he needs to do is name it the Island of Dr. Moreau, and he's off and running. We'll lay out Dana White's plans for the UFC next in the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Major League Baseball's toying with a biosphere bubble city. NFL draft's gone virtual. And the UFC, well, they're looking for a private island. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'll lay out for you a story from the world of the UFC in just a moment. But a little bit later in the show, we're going to play a game called Butthurt. We got Nuno, Mike A., Bubba, Pat, and myself. Mike, do me a favor. Let me see what we're exactly talking about here. What are we in store for? We're not actually going to play this round, but would you just draw one card, sir? One card only, and give me a little taste of the kind of questions we're going to have to be answering.
Who is the biggest prude?
Biggest prude. That would be fun. Biggest prude. I think we all know. I think it would be unanimous. Let's do it together. I don't know what kind of delay Nuno has, but all at the same time, let's just answer this one. Nuno, Bubba, Mike A., and myself, lean into your microphone. On the count of three, I want you to say the name, okay? I want to see if we all sing it almost like a melody. One, two, three.
Will.
Pat.
Bubba.
What are you talking about? Mike, you said me, and Nuno said Bubba, and somebody else said Pat besides me.
That was me. You and I know the correct answer.
Trust me, there are a lot of cards that are going to end in Pat being the right answer. That just wasn't one of them.
This was one of them. I don't know what you're talking about. The biggest prude, Mike. We'll debate this one a little bit later. I don't know how you could get into that with me. That's crazy talk. Let me get to not allowing the perfect to be the enemy of the good. The NFL and Major League Baseball are attempting to avoid that scenario. So is the UFC. Dana White told TMZ he has UFC 249 scheduled. That's going to be Tony Ferguson against Justin Gaethje. And the location is TBD. But in order to get a location where international fighters can also arrive for fights, he's looking at putting together a private island, with facilities already in the progress of being built and private air service to bring them in and out. As though it's out of Enter the Dragon or the Island of Dr. Moreau or what was the movie with Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage? The Rock. Dana White is a man whose mind will not be limited by convention. An island where fights will take place. I love it. He's not going to allow the perks to be the enemy of the good. He's not even going to allow the bad to be the enemy of the good. He is going to look for a solution in a world full of problems. And I think he's right. I think he should be approaching it this way. And I think we would all appreciate it if he did, in fact, have a corona-free island where we could have UFC fights on a weekly basis. Bravo to Dana White. Bravo for looking for answers in a world full of questions, for looking solutions in a world full of problems. I hope he pulls it off. Speaking of the UFC, on Ariel Helwani's MMA podcast, he heard an incredible story from the past week from a fighter named Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith talked about, in the middle of the night, realizing there's somebody home. There's somebody breaking into his house. Now, you'd probably want to find a better house to break into than a 200-pound mixed martial artist. But that's what happened to Anthony Smith. And here's the story he told Ariel Helwani.
At about 4 a.m., a little after 4 a.m., I guess 4:05, my wife woke me up, panicked, and said, "There's somebody in the house." And so I jump up and I hear a man's voice screaming at the top of his lungs. And he's not really saying anything. It was like from deep within. It was really loud, all the way till he ran out of breath, and then he would take a breath and scream again. So I ran out, from my bedroom. As soon as I turned the corner, standing in my computer room, was a strange guy that I've never seen before. My house was totally dark, and he just, you know, he had this kind of almost like he was flexing at me, this weird posture, and he was just, you know, walking towards me. And it was weird. It seemed like I surprised him, which is really odd, but, and he just started yelling, and that's where kind of pandemonium started. My wife followed me out of the bedroom, and she had to go down the hallway to get the kids. And I just, you know, I kind of just ran him over, and we started fighting. And this whole time, my wife is trying to gather the kids, get them to the bedrooms or to a bedroom so we could hide them. And that was kind of where it started. The fight was on and with the strange guy in my house.
Anthony Smith went on to tell Ariel Helwani the fight went on for quite some time, and it was a tough fight. He says it was one of the toughest fights he's ever had. He said he pummeled the dude, just nailed him, knees and elbows and hands to the face, but the dude didn't stop coming. And by the way, Anthony Smith is 205 pounds. Is in retrospect, cops came, arrested the guy. He was 170 pounds. Makes you wonder if he had a little stimulant running through his system to make him a little more tolerant of a knee to the face. But 170 pounds against 205-pound trained MMA fighter, and Anthony Smith is saying it's one of the roughest fights he's ever had. That'll make you realize you need some personal protection. By the way, Anthony Smith suggests he does have personal protection now, because you've probably read the reports, during this pandemic, with police forces stretched thin and jails not housing a ton of people because it's an incubator for people getting sick, this guy in particular, who'd broken into more than one house in Smith's neighborhood, is set free. He made bail, and he's supposed to come back on his own recognizance for his trial date. He's not going to be in jail. That's shocking. Well, it's shocking that's where we are. It's not shocking that's happening, because you read the reports coming out of places like Philadelphia and other places that this is how police are approaching this moment in time. Terrifying. Terrifying that a dude could take about a dozen Anthony Smith strikes. More than that, he could take the criminal justice system on and still walk free. There's a little story to make your jaw drop even more than Dana White finding a private island to conduct these fights. Maybe he needs to book these two. That would be an awesome fight. I'd be all in. Book the intruder and the home defender in a fight. I'll buy it. I'm in. All right. Let's play Butthurt. Let's talk to Trevor Maddich. And let's hear the new Nunoism that our Supreme Leader coined yesterday. If you thought hobsnobbing was excellent, wait till you hear his newest turn of phrase. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Well, and Bubba hasn't gotten to the crust. The crust? Crust?
Whoa.
The
crust. Crust.
Bubba hasn't gotten to the crust or the crux of the issue. We have a new Nunoism, our supreme leader. This has a way with words. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. I don't know if crust of the issue goes straight to the top of the leaderboard or not. There's some serious competition. There is, of course, the famous you were out there hobsnobbing around with fancy people. We might need to come up with a top five list. Bubba has some other entries, and we might need to just rank them 5-1. I'm not sure crust of the issue gets to the top, but I think it could be in the running. Between that and hobsnobbing, I don't know which one is the winner. We could defer to one of our football analysts. We could defer to one of our experts here at ESPN. It's Trevor Maddich, who's on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. What's up, Trevor?
Hey, Will. How's it going, man?
I'm good, bud. So let's start with football. Do you think we are going to have college football back on time, Trevor?
I think we will, but there's a lot that's up in the air. There's a lot that has to happen in order for that to occur. And the thing is, there's so much we don't know yet. We haven't had widespread testing, for example, of antibodies to know how many people have actually had the coronavirus and either didn't know it or got over it, because that will alter the percentage of people who are seriously harmed or who actually die. We don't know if any of these treatments or vaccines that are being, you know, there's a full court press worldwide to come up with a medical answer to this on many different fronts. So we don't know if any of those will turn out to be something that will make the coronavirus largely treatable and maybe even moot. We also don't know if the coronavirus will mutate into something far more dangerous than it is even now. So my guess is that by the time we roll into late May and into June, when these decisions have to be made, we'll know a lot more about those things. And I'm guessing that college football and the NFL will define the coronavirus as a manageable situation, much like the flu, hepatitis, tuberculosis, other communicable diseases, and find a way to play anyway. That's my best guess.
You know, that would be my best guess as well, but I don't have much solid reasoning, Trevor, to believe that. In fact, if I were fleshing out my best guess, it would be something like football returns in the fall, but it might be a short-lived experiment, because I think there's an equally likely scenario where the coronavirus returns in the fall. But the point I think is more important than my random speculation or my gut instinct or my guess is that we do not know. We know nothing. We really know nothing. Every time we think we know something, it changes. We thought we knew that masks weren't important, and then masks became important. You point out antibodies, but I've also read we're not even sure if once you have it, you're then building up an antibody, that you're immune. I did have an epidemiologist on the show a week ago, and he said he did believe you wouldn't get it a second time, but now I'm reading a week later that you might. Well, I'm also reading that 50% have mild or no symptoms, 25% totally asymptomatic. So I just come away from that, Trevor, like, I am full of humility and uncertainty. I don't know at all what the next month holds, much less the next 3 months, and I don't know if we will get football back.
Well, I agree with everything you just said. And I think that the people responsible, the people who are legally responsible, who give legal advice to the people who are morally responsible for the health of their players and the fans, those people are going to tell the people that can make decisions to be as cautious as they possibly can. Because if lawsuits start to fly, then somebody's going to be the target of those lawsuits. And I think people want to be very careful about it. At the same time, I think you've also got to look at, again, as a hypothetical, what happens if they do cancel the season? What if they do? Well, at what point then do they bring it back? Because if they cancel the season because of what we know about the coronavirus now, or what we will know in a couple of months, then if those factors don't change, then they can't bring football back until they do. Take a look at the flu, for example. I'm not equating the coronavirus with the flu, but medicine has been trying to eradicate the flu for decades. And we get a shot that works some of the time, and that's about as good as we can do. Well, if medicine doesn't do better in eradicating coronavirus, and it continues to be at best a seasonal thing, well, then why would you bring football back a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, if the coronavirus then is the way it is now? So there's a lot of things that are a lot of balls in the air right now, and a lot of things that could be monumentally disrupted.
I just read this morning that between the NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, broadcast networks have potentially lost $1.5 billion in advertising revenue. If football doesn't take place, we're talking about $6 billion in lost advertising revenue. Talking to ESPN college football analyst and the co-host of College Game Day on ESPN Radio, Trevor Maddich, here on the Will Cain Show. All right, so let's just say for a moment, let's say that we do get football, but we're going to lose a lot of the prep time, a lot of the lead up. We've lost some spring football. In fact, pretty much all spring football practices. Who knows what you're going to lose in the summer. I know that you've told us you believe this kind of scenario would help Clemson and Auburn and hurt LSU and Michigan. Explain to me how you broke those two camps up.
Yeah, I think Clemson is a great example of how it helps. This is a program with great continuity in terms of scheme and in terms of their culture. They've got probably the best quarterback in the nation in Trevor Lawrence, who is a longtime starter for them. They've got skilled people coming back, offensive linemen coming back everywhere. So this is a team that won't lose as much as a team that loses a ton of people like LSU. I mean, LSU is losing, you know, their one of their most important offensive coaches, Joe Brady, to the NFL. They lost their all-timer of a quarterback, Joe Burrow, one of their top receivers and others. I mean, their best running back. LSU has to replace a lot of people. And so much of football is chemistry. And if you don't get the chemistry of spring, if the summer is shortened, for example, well, it doesn't hurt the chemistry of a team like a Clemson nearly as much as it would a team like an LSU. You look at Michigan, they're trying to get over that Ohio State hump. They need all the help they can get. And if they lose spring ball and part of summer, or if the season starts later, all these disruptions, somehow they've got to catch up to Ohio State, and so far all they've been doing is falling behind. Georgia, I think, is a good example of a team that's kind of a hybrid. Last year, Georgia's defense wasn't expected to be the strength of the team, but they were phenomenal, and this year they'll be even better, and it's easier to destroy than to create. And so if offenses are struggling with lack of continuity, lack of practice time, defenses are able to take advantage, and no team is in better position to do that than Georgia. But they lost Jake Fromm, their starting quarterback, and they've got to get entirely new chemistry between quarterback and receiver now, and that will be limited. So this will affect different teams in different ways, but the bottom line is that teams like Clemson and Alabama, the rich get richer.
Yeah, the key word seems to be, no matter which sport we're talking about here, continuity. The more you had already changed before this, the harder you're going to have laying the groundwork for some new normal. So anyone in the pros, you know, Joe Judge in New York, Mike McCarthy in Dallas, in college replacing a guy like Joe Brady at LSU, that's the problem. If you can keep anything with continuity, coaching staffs, quarterbacks, right, whatever, that's going to be what can help you through this system. All right, Trevor played football in college and in the pros. He's going to hang out with us here for another segment. I'm going to ask him, would he sequester himself from his family for four potential months in order to get that paycheck? That's next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio or the ESPN app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, still hanging out with ESPN College Football Analyst and co-host of College Game Day on ESPN Radio, Trevor Maddich. Trevor, before we get back into sports in the era of pandemics, let me just get you to tell me which of these you like best. I'm going to play for you, Trevor, a couple of Nunoisms, and you tell me which one should be number one, okay? I believe okay. Bubba has four selected, okay? These are turns of phrase, English language mastery, broadcasting Marconi-level award-winning microphone-owning moments from our supreme leader, Nuno. So Bubba's got four moments. Trevor, we'd like to know which one you think is number one. Bubba, take it away.
All right, so here's the most recent one. Trevor, just want to make sure you heard this one.
Well, and Bubba hasn't gotten to the crust. The crust? Crust?
Whoa!
The
crust. Crust.
The crust of the issue. Okay, it's always important to get to the crust of the issue. What else, Bubba?
2011.
That's a date that will live in infamy. 2011. Okay.
There's just that. There's that je ne sais quoi.
The thing about that one is, Bubba, he pulled it off. Like, he said it right. I mean, that's correct use of
je ne sais
quoi.
Well, honestly, at this point, we've actually transitioned to strictly Nuno-isms, where those are really, honestly, the crust and 2011, apart from the American X, which we can play real quick, are really the only things he's gotten wrong that we have.
Oh, please.
The rest are all just him saying, like, ridiculous things, like this one, where he...
Mark says it wrong.
You know, when he told Mark Teixeira his name is wrong, or he...
No, you've forgotten his worst one, his best Ninoism, in my opinion, Hobsnobbing.
Oh, yes, you're right. Let me get that.
How could you forget that?
Here we go, Trevor.
You know, you were Hobsnobbing, is that what it was?
Hobsnobbing? I'll tell you what, Mark Teixeira gets his name wrong? Is that what you're saying, Nuno? He doesn't know how to pronounce his own name?
Yes, that's what he said.
Listen, well, I will say this. I've met some people that either don't know how to pronounce their name or don't know how to spell their name, so I'll go with that. But I'll tell you this, though. My favorite one there is the one that's actually the most true. Crust of the issue. If you're a foodie, if you understand the value of crust on a pizza, if you understand where crust makes something sting, crust of the issue you can actually make into something that works. Because it is what supports and what enhances and what makes great the rest of it. So I'll take crust of the issue.
So what you're saying is, like, the crust is the base of the pizza, the foundation of the pizza. Nuno's talking about the foundation of the issue, the base level of the issue. So you're getting to the crust. See, I would have thought the crust really is also, he's referencing the edge, and it's the exact opposite in that respect. We're not talking about the edge of the issue. We're talking about the central crux of the issue. So you're giving him greater benefit of the doubt.
But Will, if you put cardboard cutouts of you, Nuno, and me, right? One of us will think crust is the edge. The other two will think crust is food. And you can tell by looking at the cardboard cutouts which is which.
Trevor Maddich here on the Will Cain Show.
We're just getting real quick. Nuno just want to give us his response real quick. He's very happy with Trevor.
Yes! Yes!
So he is very happy today with Trevor's support. Trevor Maddich here on the Will Cain Show. I have two questions for Trevor that directly apply to his personal experience. We'll get to his experience as a college football player, professional football player in just a moment, but he also calls games for the Washington Redskins. The Washington Redskins sit at the number two pick in the NFL draft. Last year they took a rookie quarterback in Dwayne Haskins, and they have the opportunity to do so again, much like the Arizona Cardinals did, this time taking Tua Tagovailoa, it would be presumed. Trevor, what do you think about that idea for the Redskins?
I think it's a good idea for the Redskins to make teams below them think they might take Tua to maybe get them to trade up and grab some more picks. But I think it would be absolutely nuts for the Redskins to draft Tua. First of all, Dwayne Haskins last year, every game that he played, he got better. And it seemed like he didn't make the same mistake twice. He did, but it didn't seem like it. He got better every single week, and it was easy to quantify and easy to see. So I'm not ready to bail on Haskins at all. The second reason, Will, is that I am in principle against taking quarterbacks in the first half of the first round anyway. And it's not because you don't need elite quarterback play to make a Super Bowl. You do. But if you look back at the last dozen or so Super Bowls and look at the starting quarterbacks, only count each one of them once, so Brady only counts for one. Count Carson Wentz of the Eagles as a starting quarterback because he started most of the games that the Eagles played that year, and then he got hurt. what you'll find is that about half of the starters at quarterback in the Super Bowl were drafted in the first half of the first round. The rest of them were drafted in the bottom half of the first round, not in the first round, or weren't drafted by the team they played in the Super Bowl with at all. And I think that taking a quarterback at the top of the round, boy, if it hits, it's great. But you have just as good a chance to get that Super Bowl starter later, and you've got a very good chance that high-drafted quarterback will bust. So I think the Redskins, for a lot of reasons, shouldn't be taking Tua at number two.
I'm really trying to work my mind through your math, whether or not it adds up to the conclusion you think. Trevor Maddich on the Will Cain Show. So if half of the Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks were guys drafted in the first 15 picks, that would be a disproportionate number of Super Bowls for those guys in the top half of the first round, because you granted yourself every other round in the draft and free agent status to win Super Bowls with. I'm not 100% sure that doesn't add up, but there's something that doesn't quite add up to me. In other words, it's still important to draft a quarterback in the top half of the first round. You have a better chance, a much better chance of winning a Super Bowl than if you're playing the odds later in the draft.
Well, if you do it the way you just said it, yeah. But again, only counting them once, so I'm not counting Brady, you know, nine times or whatever that is. But the thing is, you can say the total numbers of options are greater below the first half of the first round. But the flip side to that is that once you get that guy, it's one or zero. It's yes or no. And so to me, it's that yes or no that matters the most.
Trevor Maddich on the Will Cain Show. I'm down to like 30 seconds, Trevor, but I wanted to get you in on whether or not you'd play away from your family in a bubble city like baseball is presumed in any sport. Would you be up for going away from your family to play your sport?
I absolutely would, and I hate it that people get all dramatic about it, being away from their family. Ask a soldier overseas getting shot at for a year what it's like to be away from your family, right? Now, they should have an opt-out, though. In other words, if a player has an issue with his family, he needs to be there. Let him opt out, have a replacement player for him, and play it anyway. The TV revenue is the same.
All right. Really good stuff with Trevor Maddich here. Hope you're staying safe, staying home, staying sane, Trevor. We appreciate having you, man.
Thanks, Will.
All right. Take care. All right. Coming up, I understand now what it is to be a big-time athlete.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.